Amen. Let's give Jean-Marie a hand. Okay, guys, I want us to do something a little bit different. Okay, where are the ushers? Where's Cassie and the guys? Are they counting the money at the back there? But okay, is the coffee ready? Is the coffee ready? Okay, because I think, we're going to have coffee now, okay? Are you guys cool with that? Okay, so get yourself a cup of coffee quickly, because there's freedom in the house of the Lord, amen? We're not bound to a program. Isn't it awesome? Yeah. Okay, so get yourself a cup of coffee. Please go and meet someone that you have never met before. Go and say hello. Go and fellowship a little bit with each other just for 5 or so minutes. I know this is out of some people's comfort zones. You know, the very structured people, it's like, oh, we're breaking the program. That's awesome, okay? So let's fellowship, guys, and then we can start the sermon just now. Okay, cool. Secondly, why am I here? Isn't that so? I don't know if you've asked these questions in your life before. I don't know if you've asked the question of identity. Who am I really? Because many people, if I ask the question, many people will answer, well, I'm a doctor, or I'm a student, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a husband, or a mother, or a lawyer, or a sports person, or a housewife. So I don't know what you answered when you discussed this now, but most of us answer the question, what am I, instead of who am I? Isn't that so? It's amazing in life when we at a desperate time in our lives. I don't know if any of you have been at a very desperate time in your life and you've been maybe wondering and struggling with God about who you really are. Then it's like, amazing how we're at a place of such intimacy with the Lord, and we connect with God, and we ask Him for many things. We either ask Him for a breakthrough, we ask Him to bless us with more finances that we can do more stuff, or we ask Him to bless us with a husband or a wife. You know, I don't know if some of the young people, yeah, if you guys are trusting the Lord for a husband or a wife, then we, you know, we ask God to bless us with this blessing, this gift. Or Lord, we ask, say, Lord, you know, what am I supposed to do? And what am I called for? And thank you, Lord, for this talent. And Lord, use me and open a door for me. And you know, put me in the direction, whether it's pursuing business and making lots of money, or whether it's just having a child and being a stay-home mom, whatever it is. But it's amazing how we at this desperate time in our life, we ask God to bless us, and then the very thing that He blesses us with becomes an idol in our lives. Whether it's making a lot of money, you know, we're at the place of not having anything, and suddenly we start to pursue an entrepreneurial career and we make lots of money, or we struggle to have children, then we have a child and God blesses us with that, or a husband or a wife, and the thing that God blesses you with suddenly consumes you, and you forget about the one who's blessed you, and he becomes second, and that gift that you've been blessed with is your focus. Now, I think it's sad. I think God is saddened by it many times, because he so wants to bless us. He wants to show us what we've been called for. He wants to give us a husband and a wife and a kid and a dog and a parrot and all the nice things that we ask for. And he gives us blessing to make money, and then suddenly this thing takes priority in our lives. And I believe the reason for it is because we're so desperate to discover who we are that we fall for what we are. We fall for doing the right stuff. We fall for making money. We fall for being successful in life instead of realizing who we really are. And so I want to say this evening that you're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. Isn't that good news this evening? But you know, sometimes we live life as if we just, yeah, by chance. We live life randomly. We go through life and we just hope we're going to make it to heaven. And you know, Moses has got this long beard and we're just hanging on to his beard and saying, you know, Moses and Abraham, and just pull me through to heaven. And we survive. We're desperate in life. But we're not yeah by chance. We're not yeah by accident. We're yeah for a purpose. And so I've called the series, and I'm going to do 3 sermons on who am I. It's called Created, Chosen, and Called. And today we're just going to look at the fact that we are His workmanship. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand for those, for us to walk in there. And many times we focus on the good works and we say, sure, God's prepared me for good works and there's great stuff in Christ and all of that. But I want to say tonight, I want to focus on the first part. We are His workmanship. Turn to someone next to you and say, you are His workmanship. And there was a guy in the Bible that understood this, and he wrote this amazing passage of scripture. And I'm gonna look at this tonight. I'm gonna look at Psalm chapter 139, written by David. David had this revelation of the fact that he was Christ's workmanship. And I haven't put it up there on the slide, so sit next to a believer if you don't have a Bible. No, I'm only joking. But if you do have a Bible or you do have a phone or an app on your phone, then you can follow the New King James Version of Psalm 139. Because I'm going to read all 24 verses, and I know it's long, but I'm going to go through it piece by piece. And I'm just trusting tonight that the Lord shows you what you've been created for. First of all, who you are in Christ. Because David had this incredible revelation. David could write this for us to be blessed when we read this. It's the Word of God. Do you believe that the Word of God can change you tonight? Who's expectant for the Word of God to change you? Because I believe there's a seed that's going to be sown in your life today, tonight. A seed of joy, a seed of hope, a seed of life. Because where the Word of God is, it brings life. It sometimes makes us uncomfortable, but that's good. The Word of God is here to change your life. Father, thank you for your Word tonight. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that sets us free. Thank you that we can submit to the Word of God tonight. Thank you for writing this through David, Lord, that we can read it tonight and be edified, Lord, and be changed, that we can be conformed into your life, in Jesus' name. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Let's say that together. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The first revelation that David had when he wrote this psalm, I believe, is that he had this revelation that God knows everything about him. And it's like, I want you to think of a typical day in your life, because it's like David goes through a day and he says, God, you know my sitting down, and then you know my rising up. I rise up in the morning and God, you know exactly what I'm going to do. You know my thoughts, God. You know the decisions I'm going to make. He says, you know my path. He knows the steps that you're going to take. God knows the things that you're going to do, the things that you're going to not do, the things that you're going to neglect, and the things that you're going to do wrong. He knows everything, David says. He says, at the end of the day, he can say, God, you know my lying down. You know when I rise up, and you know when I lie down. You know exactly what happens throughout every day of my life. And then he says, Lord, you know all of my ways. Turn to someone next to you and say, all of my ways. Do you know that God knows everything that you think in a day? Just think about today. Think of the thoughts that you've thought this whole weekend, or look back on your past week and think of the thoughts that you've been thinking. Think of the fears. Think of the stuff that you're excited about. Think of what is going through your mind. God knows that. Isn't that amazing? And then he says, Lord, there's every single word on my tongue. Whatever comes from my tongue, Lord, you know it. There's not a word that I say that is hidden from you. I think that's a bit scary. Isn't that so? God knows everything you said this week, and he knows everything you're going to say this coming week. I remember when I got saved, I got saved when I was at school, and so 15 years old, that's a time when most boys, these days it seems to get a lot earlier, but they start to swear and they start to think they, little boys think that they know everything. And so there was a lot of swearing going around, you know, in that time. And especially the F word and the SH word, you know, that was like just, people just said it. And when I got saved, I just couldn't say these words. I was like, people used to get, like they used to like think I'm weird that I can't say the F word. So I used to say like flip, you know, instead of the other F word. And people used to actually tease me for it, like, oh, everything's flip, you know, flip this, if you get cross, that is. Whereas for them, the other F word was like just part of the vocabulary. And it was so amazing how the Lord saved me from a defiled tongue. And it's, you know, when I read this thing that every word on my tongue, God knows, I believe that God also wants to purify our mouths. And when I was worshiping this evening and just thinking back to my own life and thinking back to how God knows everything, but he still wants to purify our tongues. He wants us to be holy in what we speak, even though he knows everything. But he does want to sometimes put a guard in front of our mouths that we don't just speak our minds. Now that's just something on the side. But there's a knowledge of us that God has. God knows everything that we're going to say, knows every move that we're going to make in a day. And I want to say, God knows your every move. Think about that. David realized that God knew his every move throughout his life. And then he goes on and he says that your hand is upon me. There's protection. There's a hedge around me. There's this whole thing of protection. God is all over. God is everywhere. And he's got his hand upon me, David says. And he ends this piece with, this is just so incredible. I cannot fathom the fact that God knows everything about me. It's just, my own mind cannot fathom it. I was talking to someone this week and saying, you know, for God, and he came to me just to get help on some theological concepts and things like that. And I just said, you know, in life we've got to just trust God. We've got to believe for something. Some things we cannot work out. And I believe this is one of them, the fact that God knows every single thing about us. And yet he also knows every single thing about this whole universe. It's beyond our comprehension. And David says, I'm not even going to try and work this out because God, it's just beyond my mind. My mind is fallen. My mind is human. I cannot understand how God would know every little detail about me. And then he goes on and he says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. The second revelation that David had is simply this. You can run, but you cannot hide. Anyone heard of that before? I want to say it's really true. We can run from God, but we cannot hide. We need to tell the world this. This is good news because God is pursuing us. God is pursuing every person, but David had this revelation that God was everywhere. If I go into hell, Lord, even there you are. If I go into heaven, God, praise you that you are there because that's where I want to go. You know, that's where I'm sure I'm going. If I have a relationship with you, God, you're in heaven. But Lord, even in hell, if I go to hell, you're there. And then he says, if I fly on the wings of the morning, this talks about the breaking of the day, the light that breaks forth. You know, light is the fastest thing that moves. The speed of light is like incredible. And so he says, if I go at the speed of light in like the day breaks and light comes, if I go at the speed of light to the ends of the sea or into the depths of the sea or into wherever, into just the abyss, Lord, you're still there. I cannot escape from you. You're greater than this universe because you're spirit and you're everywhere. See, I love the fact that he realizes that darkness and light is the same to God. Because why? He created the darkness and the light. See, God is not limited by anything, especially not by the physical world. And isn't it so that so many times, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, when we like to sin, is in the darkness. Isn't it so? You know, in the day, we do all the right things. And then when night comes, we think, oh, this is like a nice place to now. No one's going to see what I'm doing. And God probably won't see either because it's dark. You know, it's like. And if you look at the world, sin often happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the day. Sin happens everywhere. But at night, you know, that's when then the sinful nature seems to flourish, you know. Just go into campus. Just go out at night to anywhere in a city or town. Any night of the week, many times. People are so busy in the day, just fulfilling themselves with stuff they have to do. And then at night, we'll go and do some sin, you know. Because we think we're going to hide from God. And David says, listen, yeah, it's not going to work because the night and the day is the same. It's like I was speaking to a new mom. She's just had a baby. And she said her baby sleeps so well in the day. And, you know, at night, it's like, and then the baby's awake. And I'm like, you know, this baby understands something about God. Night and day, it's the same. I'll wake up at night because night and day, it's, you know, when babies are born, the night and the day in their routine is often changed around, because you guys are not parents yet, you won't know what I'm talking about. But just be aware of that. When you have your first child, you're like shocked because they sleep so well in the day, and you think, oh, I'm going to have a nice sleep at night, and then they wake up every 2 hours. But for God, night and day, God created night and day, and so light and dark, it's the same for God. But you see, sometimes we don't only sin at night. Sometimes we go into darkness, or we want to go to the sea, or we want to go into the mountains to escape even sometimes from God, and we try to fulfill ourselves with a lot of stuff, and God says, or David said, you know what, we cannot hide from God. And Adam and Eve tried to do it at the beginning. That's what happened when they sinned, when the sin happened, when they disobeyed God, they covered themselves up, they hid themselves, and God was walking in the cool of the day, and he says, but where are you? It's not like God didn't know where they were, but they were hiding from him. Because that's what we do as people. We hide from God, and it's so amazing. Like my kids, I can see we have to teach our kids to tell the truth, okay? Because this morning before church, we had a briar last night, and so there's a lot of ash in the bottom of a Weber normally. And so Nathan plays with the, you know, he was like playing with the ash there and everything. And then he washes his hands now. And when in washing his hands at the tap, it's like everything's wet. And then I see the ash on the floor there, or on the paving outside, and he's taken some of it into the house. And then so I ask him, so Nathan, have you been playing with this ash? He's like, me not. No, me not. You know, but it's on his face, it's on his shirt, yeah, and it's like in the house, and like, no, it's Caitlin and Matthew, you know, Katie and Matthew, but me not, you know. But you know, kids just, that's what they do. They just don't tell the truth always. They love to hide their sin. They love to hide all the stuff that's not right. And so it's the same with us. And David had this revelation that I cannot hide from you, God. I cannot hide from your truth. I cannot hide my sin because you are everywhere. And so that's good news for us tonight. We have a loving God. He's got boundaries. He's everywhere. He's not limited. Verse 13. So he goes on, this revelation seems to grow because he's found out that God knows everything about him, that God is everywhere, so he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. Sorry, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he knows everything, he's everywhere. And then he goes on and he says the following, he says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Third revelation David had was that God made him. Didn't make everything. He didn't only make the whole world, and he didn't make all the people. He made him very specially, fearfully and wonderfully. David said that, God, you have formed me inwardly. In other words, every part of me that I don't see, all my organs inside, all the stuff that other people cannot see. And Lord, even my personality, even my character, even my ways and my little mannerisms and all these things, Lord, you formed them. You made them when I was yet unborn. And Lord, even my outward stuff, you know my this, you know how big I am, how tall I am, short, how wide I am. You know, some of us are role models, you know, like... But God knows you, okay? God knows your outward appearance. God knows your inward parts. God knows everything about you. God has made you wonderfully and beautifully. And I believe some people need to know that this evening. Some people need to know that you are beautiful. Amen? Because some of us don't like ourselves, eh? You'd love to be like someone else. You see someone else looking like they're achieving and they're successful in life and they're so amazing and, oh, you know, I wish I was like them. And we start to compare and then we start to hate ourselves and we like others and we aspire to something that God's never called us to be. But David uses some amazing words here. He says that you have knitted me. I don't know if any of you ladies do knitting, but, you know, my mother knits amazingly. She knits for the kids and like these little tea cozies on the head, you know, the beanies and things and beautiful jerseys. Knitting is an incredible process. Knitting is like this intricate process that involves time. And God has knitted us. God has intricately woven us. The whole thing of weaving. And He uses these amazing words to describe how God has made us before we even were thought about. In fact, before our parents thought about us, God thought about you. God has created you. And you know, the creation process involves two steps. It involves a conceptual creation. If anyone knows about design, I worked at a motor company. And I won't say which ones. This morning I was very biased. But I'm actually not for German cars only. Okay, I like all sorts of cars. But I worked for Volkswagen in Uetenhagen. And I saw how the process of these vehicles were designed from in product engineering when they go through the manufacturing and they come out and there's a nice cover on and it's an awesome car and it can do all sorts of stuff. But you know, that car doesn't just happen like that. It doesn't just arrive there on the shop floor. It was designed. It was conceptually designed on a computer, on a piece of paper. People thought about it. They planned exactly everything. That's just how design works. Design happens twice, first in the conceptually and then physically. And it's the same with you. You have been conceptually designed. You've been thought about. You've been planned. You've been designed in God's mind before you were actually created. Isn't that great news? So you're not just a physical being. You're not just, yeah, you've been thought about before you were even formed physically in your mother's womb. And that's what David is trying to tell us here. And because he had this revelation that God is so amazing. And you know, it's going to help us to look at our lives a bit more differently. And it's going to help us to have the fear of God to say, you know what, I'm not just here to use up oxygen. I'm not just here to survive in South Africa. I'm not just here to just be random. I'm here with the creation. I'm here by design. I'm here by purpose. Can someone say amen? And so David says, your eyes saw me. I was not hidden from you. And so I want to say God is not... You are not hidden from God even now when you think you're just so full of sin and full of nonsense and full of issues. You are not hidden from God. God still sees you. In fact, He wants you to know Him. In your book, He says, my days were written. Someone needs to know tonight, God knows your future. He knows next year. He knows the rest of this year. I believe someone here, you're just wondering about the rest of this year. You're wondering, are you on the right path? And you wonder what's going to happen with your life next year. And you're stressed about it. I want to say to you, if that's you tonight, don't stress about next year. Don't stress about the rest of this year. God knows your future. He knows your days. And if you can know Him, it's the best place to be. But you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. David realized that God does not only love him, but you know what? God also likes him. I want to say to you tonight, God doesn't only love you. He didn't just die on the cross for you and save you from hell. and give you a ticket to heaven. God likes you. God is excited about you. God thinks about you. Amen. God wants to be your friend. Isn't that amazing? Because some of us see God as this awesome God out there, and yeah, so we're in awe of Him, and we like worship Him, and we lay down and bow down to Him and stuff. And yes, that's who God is, but God wants to be your friend. God likes you. In fact, David says, God, you're thinking about me more than the day can. There's not enough time in the day to count the thoughts that you actually think about me. They are more than the sand. I cannot number the thoughts that you think about me. That is amazing to write that. You know, you don't just write something like that. That's revelation. That's realizing, God, you just... In fact, he says, your thoughts, Lord, are precious. Isn't that a beautiful word? It describes the thoughts that God has for you. So the thoughts that God has for you are not harmful. The Bible says in Jeremiah, his thoughts are not to harm you or to make life tough for you, is to give you a hope and a future. He thinks about you. And God will never leave you. That's what David says. So God wants relationship with each one of us. That's what David realized. God is awesome, and he's created me, and he's everywhere, and he's all-knowing and all-powerful and everything. But you know what? God thinks about me. God wants to know me. In fact, he does know me. It's just that, do I know him? That's the question. Do I know God? Do I have this connection with the friend of sinners? You're the apple of God's eye. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, in verse 19. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Not only did David realize that God knew everything about him, not only did David know that God was everywhere and that he couldn't hide from him, not only did David know that God formed him inside and outside and that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, not only did God know that David know that God was excited about him and that he wanted to be his friend, but David understood that God had enemies. God has an enemy. He has one enemy, and you know what that enemy is? It's anything that is contrary to who. The enemy of God is anything that's contrary to who he is. So if there's evil, if there's wickedness, if there's sin, Satan himself being contrary to God, that's God's enemy. If there's injustice in the world, if there's unholiness, unrighteousness, that's not who God is, so it's an enemy. And I know, you know, when you read this, you think, you know, then you start to wonder, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, you know, when I read like David, I'm thinking, who are the people that I'm going to like knock off, you know, like my enemies? Like, you just want to like knock them off like that. But you see, we don't have enemies. We don't have people as our enemies. People are not our enemies. And for David, he had people chasing him. He had people wanting to dethrone him and stop the calling of God on his life. And he just wanted to serve God. And so he just wanted to get everything out the way that was preventing him from serving God. But for us today, the enemy is our sin. The enemy is the sin in other people's lives. And our enemy should be the sin just in the world. That is our enemy. And David said that, you know what, God, you're going to deal with my enemies. Because if they're your enemies, God, they should also be my enemies. And if they're my enemies, God, and I'm serving you with a pure heart, then whatever is an enemy to me should be an enemy to you, God. And God, you will deal with my enemies. And so I want to say tonight that we need to look at our own lives. We need to start to hate our own sin, okay? Because that's the first enemy. The enemy of your soul is just the sinful nature that you're living with. The sin in your own lives. And the same with other people's lives. And if you really love someone, you're going to hate the sin in someone else's life. You're not going to hate the person. You're going to love the person. But that's what David realized, is that God hated sin. God hates sin. He didn't hate sin in the past. He still hates sin. God doesn't change. But you see, when we have this revelation, we start to hate the sin in our own lives, we start to hate the sin in other people's lives, and we start to hate the sin in the world, and we start to do something about it. Isn't that so? I don't know about you, but you know, this world is so unjust and there's so much poverty in some ways and so much, you know, the rich seem to get richer, the poor get poorer. It's just, it seems terrible. If you're a Christian, it should not be pleasing to you to see people struggle like this. You know, when you see poor people on the street, you tend to get irritated with them because you think, can't these people just get a job as well? You know, like, why do we have to work for our money? And some people, and whatever emotions get stirred up, it doesn't matter, but God wants us to be angry with sin. Amen. Not with the people, just with the sin in the world. So I don't know where you are tonight in regards to that. Think of your own life, because judgment starts at the house of God. Don't be angry with the sin out there if you're not angry with the sin in your own life. Amen. Start to get angry with that which hurts God, that which is contrary to God, whether it's disobedience or just simply apathy or just petty sins that you struggle with, cycles that you know it's wrong. But if you don't start hating it, you're going to do nothing about it. If you get comfortable with your sin, then are you going to change? Sometimes we like even our shortcomings and our weaknesses. We like get comfortable. We actually find our identity in the fact that we feel so sorry for ourselves and we're not good at this. And this is just who I, you know, that thing of, that's just who I am. That's a bit of a giving up attitude, I think, because Christ said, it's not who you are. I'll define who you are. But if we don't start to hate the sin in our own lives, or even, and then we move on to hate the sin in the world, then you know what? We're going to do something about it if we really feel strongly enough about it. Some of you might know about what Uncle Angus Buchan wants to do here in Bloemfontein on the 22nd of April. He wants to get 1 million people together just to pray, because when he was jogging, he just said, it's time. The Lord said to him, it's time. We cannot go on like this with all these farm murders, with all this corruption, all the mess in our nation. And it's so amazing when a righteous man stands up and he just says, you know what? I'm not going to stand for this, and I don't want you, but join me. Let's at least start to pray, you know, but praying is not the only thing that we should do. We should pray and then say, God, what must we do? What can we do about injustice? What can we do to change the world? If you have this revelation that David had, you will realize you need to start in your own life, but then you need to say, God, this world, I want to change this world. And I know that you're the only answer, Lord. No good governance, no good systems, no good stewardship, all that will ultimately change. It's only you, God. And then lastly, David ends like this. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. I love this. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David humbles himself before God and he gives God the free rein to do whatever God wants to do. But he says, God, you need to search my heart, Lord. Lord, you need to search the motives of my heart. You need to search the attitudes of my heart. You need to search every agenda that I have that is not in line with you, God. Search my heart. And then, God, don't only search my heart, but put me through the refining fire. Isn't that what he said? He says, test me. When we say to God, test me, that's like really saying, God, my life is in your hands. Put me through whatever you need to do. But it's a good place to be. Test me for fear, Lord. Test me for evil. Test me for anxieties. Test me for sin in my life. Lord, see that if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, I want you to change my life. And when I read this, I just love how David has come to this revelation. He started off, does anyone know what we said right at the beginning? He says, God, you have searched me and known me. That's how he started off. Verse 1 says, you have searched me and known me. So it's like, he's before he's written this, he's come to this thing that God has already searched him and known him. But then he comes at the end and he says, God, search me and know me more. And it's not like God doesn't know him. I believe he's come to the revelation of, you know what, God, you know me fully. Because he's just written about that. He's just written that God knows everything about him. God has made him. God's got a plan for him. But Lord, the thing is, I don't know you. As you search me and know me, God, I want to respond. And I give you rein, Lord, to show me where I don't know you, where I fall short, where do I still sin, where do I still miss it? And it's like he has this revelation that this is a process. This relationship with God, you can never arrive. Isn't that amazing? You can never arrive at a comfort place where you realize you know everything about God, because none of us do. And if David can write this, isn't it so much more important for us to say, God, touch my heart. Put me through the fire. Test me, Lord. And you know, this last holiday was incredible for us as a family. You know, we went to 3 hospitals, and it was like just the refining fire just seemed to be upon us. We didn't like ask for it. We just said, God, we just want a holiday. You know, like it's been a tough year and everything. And the Lord's like, I just love you so much. So whatever happens now, I'm going to take you through it. And it's amazing just the fruit in my own life that I can really tangibly see. It's not like God like made my kids cut themselves and break their legs and all of that stuff. God does not do that. God does not put bad stuff on us. But whatever happens to us, it's like, God, when I look back, I say, thank you for testing me. Thank you for testing whether I'm going to freak out or I'm just going to say, God, I trust you that there's going to be healing, but just trust you that my kids are in your hands, Lord. And yeah, Nathan is running around and it's like, it seems like he's just stronger than ever before. And in our spirits, we are also stronger, more ready for the battle, more ready for the kingdom to come. But I still say, Lord, test me. Tim Keller wrote an amazing quote, and he said that fear-based repentance makes us hate ourselves, but joy-based repentance makes us hate our sin. I want to say that again. Fear-based repentance makes us hate ourselves, but joy-based repentance makes us hate our sin. And that's what David realized, that if I joyfully repent, if I realize that I'm not doing this because I'm under condemnation or because I'm guilty, I'm doing this because I have a free relationship with God, and I've said to God, God, search me. I realize I'm a sinner, so save me, Lord. Save me again and again and again. Test me. Change my life. Because if we don't do it, if we do it out of fear and we're just guilty and condemned the whole time, you know what? It's going to make us even hate ourselves. But if we joyfully repent, we know God loves us, but he hates the sin in our lives. And then we begin to hate the sin, and we come to this place of cleansing. And so tonight, if you're under condemnation, yeah, if you're feeling guilty about how God feels about you, I want to say that's not of him. It's from the devil. It's a lie. God loves you so much. He's made you amazingly. But there is sin in your life. And God wants to deal with it. God wants you to be so humble before him and so open to allow him to search you, to test you, to cleanse you. And then he ends up and he says, Lord, lead me into everlasting life. I want to say this evening that all of this revelation cannot be possible. And is one name that went and was born in the line of David, the lineage of David, the man who was without sin, without shame. His name is Jesus. This revelation cannot be possible without Jesus. See, Jesus came to reveal to each one of us, first of all, that we are known by God. There's nothing hidden from him. Everything about us is known. Jesus came to show that we cannot hide and we should not hide. In fact, Jesus was hidden inside of the earth for 3 days that we don't never have to hide from God again. Isn't that amazing? He was hidden from the Father. There was separation between him and his Father so that we do not ever have to be separated. We don't have to ever hide from God. Jesus came to show us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Anyone know what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says? We quote it when we talk, when we teach about salvation. And it says, behold, the old things have gone. All things have become new. In Christ, we are a new creation. In other words, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Christ, our spirits have become new. And so we are born again. We are a new creation. That is amazing. Christ has come to show us that we are, that he likes us and that he thinks about us, that he wants relationship with us. He's the only way that we can have relationship with the Father. Christ came to show us that we do have an enemy, and that even sometimes we ourselves and our sinful nature is the enemy. But you know what? He's the only solution. And Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. You know what that means? You're going to live forever. live forever. Not only just live forever, but live forever in the presence of God. Because the other option is to die forever. Imagine that. The Bible says that if we're going to die, if we don't live forever, we're going to die forever. We're going to keep dying. You're not going to die, but you're going to feel like you're dying. You know, the worms are going to eat you. You're going to, like, you know, that time, you know, when you feel sick, like you get nauseous like that, and you just feel like you want to die, that's how it's going to feel in hell. You're just not going to die. Worms are going to eat you. Fire is going to burn you, and you're just going to hope that you can just pass away, but you're not. It's terrible. Eternity is terrible if you're not going to be with Jesus. And I think we should have a revelation of what Christ has done for us. He saved us from eternal burning, eternal fire, eternal dying, where we just continue to die, but yet we just never pass away. Life with Him. So I want the ushers to hand out the communion elements. We're going to take communion this evening because I trust that this scripture, I trust that this passage of scripture has made you think about how great God is. Nothing else. That's all I want tonight. Because, you know, when you talk about who am I, it's all about Him. I love it when we say, who am I? You know, the I is at the end. The I is lost. Because it's not about who you are, it's about whose you are this evening. I'm going to say that again. It's not about who you are, it's about whose you are. You see, the danger is, and I want to end off with this before the hand out the communion, the band can come forward as well. If the ushers can just pass the band their bread and their wine just on the stage so they can get ready so long. But the danger is, guys, and I want you to listen here, if you don't know who you are, you know what you're going to do? You're going to rely on your achievements. You're going to rely on what you do to define you. I want to say that seriously. I don't think we quite catch this. If you don't know who you are, you're going to rely on what you do to define you. You're going to rely on what people think of you. You're going to rely on your title, whether you're a doctor or professor or a pastor. You're going to rely on your achievements. You're going to rely on your successes. You're going to rely even on your outward appearance and how you look. Because how much time do we spend dressing up? We look so good on the outside. We put so much covering up ourselves. And then you're going to rely even on your weaknesses many times. When you start to fail and fail and fail, you know what? Then you're going to think you're a failure. And that's going to be your identity. You know what? I'm a failure. I'm just never going to make it. And whether you're a very successful person in the eyes of the world or a failure in the eyes of the world, it's difficult for God to break through. Because it becomes so ingrained in us. But I want to say it's not impossible because Christ died that He can bridge that gap, that you can know that you're amazing, you're beautiful, wonderful, but that He wants relationship with you. So the question again, who are you? Last night the Lord just told me this. He said that our revelation of Him determines our influence in His kingdom. We can only influence people and have a life in the kingdom as far as our revelation of God goes. Amen. That's why we get saved. That's why we give our lives to Jesus. If you've been saved here tonight, you got saved because you had a revelation of God. But I believe we cannot rely on our revelation when we got saved. Because some of us have got a revelation of God. It's amazing. And you got saved. You responded to God. And you gave your life to Him. But I believe God wants to reveal more and more and more to us about who He is. Isn't that awesome? What a journey with this amazing God. So don't rely on the last revelation. Don't rely on your revelation years ago. Rely on a new revelation of God. And Lauren confirmed it so last week. She just said, you know, are you settling for a life of same old, or are you desiring more of God? Desiring more of His Spirit. Because as you experience more and more of a revelation of God, that's going to determine your influence in the kingdom. But it starts with knowing who you are. And when we know we are, when we know we're rooted and grounded in Christ, when we know that even if we fail, when we step out in faith and we try, we obey God, and sometimes it doesn't work out exactly how we planned it, then it's okay, because you still know who you are. It doesn't change who you are. God loves you the same. So what is your revelation of the heart of God tonight? Do you know Him? Do you know that you are known by Him? Do you know that everything about you is spot? And that He'll deal with your sins. So don't be sin conscious. Be God conscious. So I'm going to pray for us tonight, and then I've asked Benny to sing a song for us tonight. It's an amazing song. But we'll get there now. So Father, I thank You for Your body and Your blood. Thank You that we can remember the cross tonight. That it's all about You, Jesus. It's all about what You've done. And thank You for Your body now that was broken. Lord, as we eat of this, we thank You. Lord, we recognize our brokenness. We say tonight, Lord, search us. Know us, Lord. Test us. Test our every anxiety. Test, Lord, all the wickedness and all the sin in our lives. Because, Lord, we know that we are secure in Your arms, Lord. We can be free to be honest with You, Lord. We can be free to know that You know us, Lord. And that we cannot and need not hide anything from You, God. So we bring our brokenness to You. As we hold this broken piece of bread in our hands, Lord, we bring our brokenness to You. And as we eat of it, Lord, we thank You for wholeness. Thank You for life. Life in Jesus Christ. Not a perfect life, Lord, but a life where we know that You know us. And that we know that we can be secure in Your love for us. Let's eat together. We thank You for the cup of the new covenant. Tonight we drink of it. We thank You for forgiveness. I just sense tonight there's some people you need to receive the forgiveness of Christ, even right now. This week, if you look back on your week and you look back at the thoughts that you were thinking and the wickedness that seemed to surface in your life this week, then I just sense God is saying, I've forgiven you. Just take and drink of this cup, but don't drink of it in unbelief. Drink of it believing that I have made it possible for you, my child, my daughter, my son. I love you and I've forgiven you. That's why I went through pain, I went through suffering, I shed my blood, that you can be forgiven. So for some people tonight, just receive the forgiveness of sins afresh. I want us to stand together this evening. And I'm going to give over to the band to lead us in this song. It's one of the greatest songs that's been written in the last while. Now I want you to sing this song. I want you to be honest with the Lord tonight. And I want you to have, as we sing this, just respond in your heart to the word that God is saying to you right now. Whether it's you need to forgive yourself, you need to love yourself, you need to forgive others, you need to see your sin in a little bit of a different light tonight. Because you need to be honest. You are a sinner. All of us need to. But tonight we're going to sing this song, and it's called I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear. But I'm a child of God. And I want you to know that you're a child of God tonight. And if you're not sure that you're a child of God tonight, I want to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. If you need to commit your life to Jesus Christ tonight, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven, if you're not sure of your own salvation, your own relationship, your personal relationship with Christ, then tonight is your night to come. So while we're singing, then come forward. We'd love to pray with you. If you need to deal with stuff in your life, if you just want to respond and say, God, I just realized that I'm such a slave. I know You and I've got relationship, but Lord, I'm just so full of pride and I'm just so full of myself and just all myself coming out. And I'm just such a slave, Lord. And I just want to repent of that. Then come forward. We'd love to pray with you. And I want you to sing this song from your heart and say, Lord, I'm not a slave anymore. A child of God. But if you're not sure tonight, then don't sing this song because everyone else is singing. Come and be a son tonight. Be born again. Amen. So only Jesus can make us sons. We are not sons in our own flesh. We're actually sons of the enemy because we're all sinners. But know that you're a son. If you know Jesus tonight, then sing from your heart and worship Him the fact that you are a son of God. Want to say, be bold this evening. If you need prayer, just come. If you feel, I just sense there's some people here, you really don't like who you are. God really wants to deliver you tonight. He just wants to say that I've made you, I've formed you, I'm excited about you. So if you feel tonight, I just sense there's some ladies tonight, you really need to do business with the Lord, then just come. Receive the Father's heart tonight. He's created you, He loves you. So if that's you, just come. If you need prayer, if you feel like a slave tonight, if you really feel like a slave, then just come and we'd love to minister to you. We'd love the Holy Spirit to just touch your life this evening. Amen. So just come. But the rest of you, the band is going to continue to minister. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. But otherwise, just enjoy the presence of the Lord as He inspires you and as He tells you more. More how much He loves you and how He wants to change your life. Amen. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And I want to say tonight, God is good. God is for you. But God wants you to be honest with where you're at in your life tonight. Amen. So God bless you guys.
just feel there's a man in the room. I'm speaking to the men here. That God has done something. God has done something in your heart tonight. And He's calling you to come and dance in front of Him. You're not dancing in front of the church. You're dancing to your Father. He's asking you to come and dance before Him. So please, if that is you, just come and be obedient to Him. And justifying for my own life is not a good thing when you don't when you're not obedient to Him when He calls you to come and dance to Him.
Continue with worship. If you need to go, you feel free to leave. We appreciate that you've been here tonight. Thank you so much. Get another cup of coffee, fellowship, and then leaders, please, if you're in any leadership position, please, we just want to have a short meeting afterwards. Very short, but please stay. We just need to give some important information through. But God bless you guys. And if you still need prayer, please come. We need some facilitators here. Can I have some ladies, the leaders, or anyone who can pray for people, just come and help us pray for people tonight. Amen. And if you need physical healing, God is a healer. Amen. Jesus wants to heal. So if you need physical healing, come. We'd love to pray for your physical state, your emotional state, your spirit. God is into healing all of us, our whole being. Amen.